I would be remiss if I didn't ask on behalf of our clients. One of the questions that comes up very often that our coaches hear is, how do you get paid for decompression, and what are the various aspects? That's, you know, traditionally been an all cash, and there's questions about if it can be billed through insurance. What kind of recommendations do you make for your clients?
Well, I stick with the recommendations. I obviously get extremely good advice from my brother, the healthcare attorney. He sits on the Mark, you know this organization, obviously, the APC, the American Academy of Professional Coders. He's actually on the board of that as well, and he's also a certified healthcare compliance consultant. So we've, over the years, been blessed with someone very close to us who has given us really the best advice available on coding and compliance, and even, you know, a lot of the advertising no-nos. You know, he litigates these cases. He defends doctors on behalf of, or I wouldn't say on behalf of, but you get these post-payment reviews.
Right.
These are the guys that advocate on behalf of the doctor and try to mitigate what the insurance company is trying to collect. They also go to bat for guys who are being pursued for healthcare fraud and things like that. So, I mean, they know this from how it all plays out in court. It's not a theoretical situation. And so we try not to give theoretical advice to KDT practitioners. What we do is we try to tell you, here's the way it comes down. Most insurance companies have looked at the hyperbolic statements of manufacturers, negative intradiscal pressure, overcoming muscle guarding, which there is no muscle guarding, provable by so many EMG studies that was all just nonsense that was made up to sell our machine is magic and traction machines aren't magic. 86%, NASA, yada, yada. These insurance companies are not dumb. They look at these claims and they go, well, if you are using traction to do that stuff, we're not going to pay for it. Okay, because we don't buy that there's any evidence or research or science behind that, quote, notion of decompression. Now, if you use traction to separate joint surfaces, that becomes a 97012. It's a modality. There's no goal involved there, okay? So, Mark, you're a professional coder, I know, as well. You understand modalities, of course. There's no goal. It's a performance thing. And the definition of traction is the performance is you're separating joint surfaces. Have a nice day. You're not making any claims or mention of what you think you might be doing beyond separating joint surfaces.
Yes.
And if you avoid, and then this is for the crowd out there that wants to bill the traction code and bill folks' insurance companies for the covered service, which is traction. Now, interestingly enough, every one of these systems, I don't care which one you look at, and I don't care what lie they tell you over the phone or in their marketing, they are all regulated by the Food and Drug Administration as powered traction tables. Don't believe me, you can look it up yourself. FDA.gov, click on medical devices, click on 510K clearances, and put your favorite decompression system in there, and you will find they are all regulated under 890.5900 as a mechanical traction table. End of story. They all do the same significantly equivalent thing as the old linear TrueTrack 401 that they all got their clearance to market based on. So don't buy into the lies and the hyperbole. The issue becomes, what statements are you making about it? Now, if you use the words to an insurance company, I am going to unload the spine with respect to position and distraction, you're not going to find a lot of resistance to anybody paying you to bill the traction code. Now, if you want to call it decompression and bill cash, I don't have a problem in the world with that. If you want to go the route of the S9090 and use that as a cash service, one, I think you're forward thinking a little bit. If our socialized healthcare system goes the way of Canada's, the first people they're going to cut out of it are chiropractors. And if that happens, those of you who have planned for and built up a portion of your practice that is willing to come in and pay cash, and decompression has been one of those stellar examples of, if you do it right, people will pay you for it. And even if it's covered or not covered, they're still going to pay you for it. And if you keep your fee structure reasonable, they're going to be willing to put out cash. I have so many customers of ours up in Canada, and there is no insurance anymore up there. And they're all billing cash for this, and they're all getting it, and they're highly referred. You know, the people up in Canada that are in trouble are the same ones down here that are in trouble. They're trying to charge $5,000 or $6,000. They're making crazy statements in their marketing, and you know they're being outed by the press and the media and everybody else. So if you don't go crazy in your marketing, you charge a reasonable fee. You can build a covered services to insurance companies. You can collect, if you choose the non-covered service of decompression, if you want to call it that, say I'm doing spinal decompression. You know, you don't have to submit the S-9090 to the insurance company because you know it's not covered. Collect cash from the patient. Have a nice day. And I think that's a great strategy.
Well, you know, Jeff, we have many members out there who follow that conservative approach, and I've seen decompression done conservatively be very profitable both for cash and also for insurance practitioners.